Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here, also a little bit intimidating when I think of how many of you would probably appreciate just a little more time to relax and snooze and, absorb all the stuff you've been bombarded with. Maybe bombarded isn't the right word, but it can be. So this morning my message, or what's on my heart, is not so much on preparing for eternity. I think all of us are concerned about eternity, but it seems like sometimes we struggle with living every day. When I was young, I had a lot of aspirations. You know, I was a pretty good ball player when I was in eighth grade. Grew up in Seymour. And I thought, I was a pretty good ball player when I was in the eighth grade. But I'd go to school picnics, and they wouldn't choose me to play shortstop. And that's what I loved to play. I was pretty good at it, I thought. And so it just seemed like there was this, my aspirations were often just a little bit out of reach. You know, if they'd let me play shortstop at the school picnic in front of all the youth and everybody, I could have showed them. But the reality of every day is the reality. And sometimes it's hard to find peace. It's hard to be at peace with reality. And sometimes realities are just nothing's happening. Sometimes realities are terribly hard. And I know some of you have faced very difficult things. Maybe some of you are facing or still facing very difficult things that are very private. Part of the title of my message is Embracing the Ordinary. We had the privilege of going to Romania, serving in Romania a number of times, and I anticipated, or I looked forward to that. You know, I thought this is going to be a real missionary. It's going to be really fulfilling. But you know what I found? I found that living in Romania, it was about 95% everyday life. You know, and once in a while, you were able to, you were called. There were extraordinary things happen. And it was fulfilling, but if I would have needed, or if we would have needed to live on the exciting things, it would have been very difficult. And that's sort of the burden of my heart, and I'm still finding the challenge of living from day to day. Or embracing the ordinary from day to day. Sometimes we're so focused on what the future might be that we forget what all God is doing, and maybe we can be discouraged by the darkness of the times. That's one thing. I don't know if any of you here face depression, but looking at all the negative things that happen in life sometimes can help or cause us to focus on negativity and focus. And the world's a terrible place. The other side of that, sometimes we get so used to everything and everything's sort of rather normal. And we strive to make it normal. We have remote buttons on our key fobs, and on a morning like this, you know, oh my, it looks cold out there. I don't want to sit in a cold pickup seat. So you push the automatic start, and your mom fixes breakfast, and you eat your eggs and porridge, and go sit in your warm pickup and go to work. And we strive, as people, we strive to make things easy for ourselves and normal. And reality isn't always that way. My point is, sometimes we forget about the darkness. We're living in our little bubble in this world, and we're in a little corner, and we forget about the darkness and become immune to what God's will is for us. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 if you care to. I'm not going to read the whole portion here. This is a story of when Joseph and Mary took baby Jesus to the temple. The eighth day after Jesus was born, he was taken to the temple, or he was, I assume that it was taken to the temple for his the rite of circumcision. And then here, according to what I understand, is close, likely around 40 days after Jesus was born, that they as a family, Joseph and Mary and Jesus, went to the temple. So beginning in verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished, this talks about the circumcision, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus for to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And down to verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. As far as we'll read, let's just think about this setting here. Here's Joseph and Mary. It seems apparent that they brought two young pigeons to offer. It indicates that they were poor people. They weren't rich. They were a poorer class of people. Life had sort of come back to normal, more or less. The shepherds had come, and there was the angels had come, and here was this baby. But then, you know, after a month of just normal things, they were following through and doing the normal things. It could be that around this time, I don't know if we can know for sure when the wise men came, but around this time, the wise men would have come, maybe after the temple. But what I want you to think about this morning was Simeon. Here was Simeon, an old man, but he trusted in God. God had somehow revealed to him, possibly through study, it says, God had revealed to him through the Holy Spirit that he should not die before the Lord's Christ would come. And it's interesting. Years ago, we lived neighbors to an old fella, and he was sort of a crusty old fella. Had a lot of goats and sheep, and he'd milk the goats and then bottle feed the kids to have a little more, control over everything that went on. But he told me that the Lord's going to come again. The Lord told him that the second coming of the Lord is going to be before he dies. Well, I found that interesting, and in a few years he died, and God still hasn't sent the Lord to call everyone to judgment. But obviously, the Spirit had spoken to Simeon, and Simeon continued to be faithful in his pursuit of God. This was a dark time. Don't forget that the ruler of the land, when the wise men came and tricked him, tricked him, that he ordered the death of all the 2-year-olds and under in the land. Now, I don't know, among conservative Republican Mennonites, can I say? President Joe Biden isn't very popular. Am I right? But what if the ruler of the land would order something like that? That's out of our comprehension. But in these days, in the days that Simeon lived, those were the days. This was normal. Assassinations, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, I mean, that still stands out in history. It was happening all the time in this time of life, or in this time of history. Simeon hadn't resorted to trying to gather a following and overthrow the Roman government, which was so oppressive. He was simply following God every day. Simeon was okay with letting God deal with things in his own time and in his own way. Anna seems to have come in during this time, and to hear part of Simeon's words, and I just think it's such a beautiful tribute to this godly woman. And she said she was served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And I feel like there's many godly women and widows that are serving God in this way. But the question I'd like to leave with you is, are we seeing and hearing God's words to us and living in anticipation of God fulfilling his promises? Now, we're at the beginning, still fairly much in the beginning of the year 2024, and I believe it's a good time to take stock of our life and our outlook on life. Are you satisfied with how you looked at life last year? Are you satisfied with how you feel about what's your life philosophy or what you're anticipating? So the title of my message is Embracing the Ordinary and Finding Joy. I feel like that's what Zacharias and his wife found. That's what Simeon and Anna in their life found. the embracing the ordinary day and finding joy. Are there practical ways that I am trusting in God as I come into the temple of worship, into my place of worship? We can, you know, Simeon and Anna came into the temple to worship God. We can meet God and worship daily as well, at home as we find the quiet place, or be is it at a busy place like the temple likely was, to read, to pray, and anticipation of God revealing his will and work. You know, the buying and selling in the temple was probably going on in full force during this time, because 30 years later, or 33 years later, whatever it was, it was when Jesus came back and gave everyone a clear object lesson on what the temple was for. Simeon and Anna found what they were looking for, and I believe that we can too. I believe there's so many distractions in life in these days. It's sometimes the distractions are ease. You know, the remotes on all the buttons that we have under our control. Another distraction are hard things. But hard things are not new. Hard things are not new. They're a part of the fall. Hard things, some of the hardest things are hard things that are not my fault. You know, a while back I got my finger in a wood splitter. I taught my boys, always have your hand on top of the piece of wood and just be careful all the time, because you never know what will happen. Somehow my little finger got in the wrong end of the piece of wood. And, you know, I still have my finger. It just probably have a scar for a while. That was my own fault. You know, there's something I could quit. As soon as I felt the pressure start, I hit the button the other way. Some of the hard things we face in life that distract us from the Lord Jesus are things that are not my fault. They're other people's fault. As hard as it may be, we dare not let that distract us from pursuing God. In the midst of the darkness of the day, God found Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph. You know, Joseph and Mary were ordinary people, it seemed like. And they were living their belief in the promises of God. You know, Zacharias, I'm blessed by Zacharias. He was an older man, just doing his normal thing. And all of a sudden in the temple, as he was offering the incense there, here was somebody. And it was part of the jobs of the priests to keep anybody that's not supposed to be from being in the temple. And here was somebody, but immediately he saw that this wasn't somebody, this ordinary, this was an angel. And like a man, he says, well, how can these things be after the message? And the angel told him, well, you won't be able to talk. And that did not hinder Zacharias' belief and living in the present. I believe in order for us to find joy in the ordinary is the way that we can find joy is a focus on the Lord Jesus. And I believe, I mean, we've come through the season of Christmas, when people think about the birth of Christ. The birth of Jesus coming to earth is such a beautiful thing. And so there's four reasons that the birth of Jesus can give us hope bright enough to counter the darkness of the year that we're facing. Number one, we can find hope and joy in living because Jesus reveals God. When Jesus became man, or became one of us and was born in Bethlehem, he came to show us something important. It wasn't just a good example for us to copy or some helpful, you know, tip for living life. Jesus came to show us God. We cannot accurately guess what God is like. And so God came to us wrapped in humanity, you might say. When we consider Jesus, we get a unique glimpse into the very character of God. You know, sometimes we grapple with God. And, you know, some people think or have this, you know, there's the verse that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we grapple with that verse because some people interpret that to say everything that happens in life is God planned it. And I'm not here to say that I understand all of that, but I believe it's very clear that God does not perpetuate or perpetrate evil. And so I find it much easier to face life not trying to say that God designed this particular abuse for me, this particular hard thing for me, but rather that Satan is there in every opportunity. I believe that according to the record that we have of Satan, he will use every opportunity he can find in every person's life to push toward evil, to push toward damnation. And so bad that happens, or bad that is accomplished, is pushed by Satan. We struggle with our human nature. And if we do not keep our focus on God and follow God, we will fall into his traps. And so that verse is actually saying, all things work together for good to them that love God. So I believe there are people that life doesn't work out for good. There's a lot of things that they're facing that are pushing them toward destruction and ultimately toward a ruined life, suicide. That's the push of Satan. Our portable building shop is sort of in the middle of town in Cuba there. And there's some very poor housing or apartments on the one side. And so there's a lot of people walking to the Dollar General store, to the grocery store, and you see them pushing carts. And they stop in once in a while and need this or that. They don't have a license. Or if they have a license, they don't have a car. Why? Many of them don't have any teeth in their mouth. Is that why they don't have a car? No. If you use hard drugs, their teeth fall out. There's just a host of things that go wrong. And it continues to go wrong because they're serving Satan. They're doing what they want to do. All things work together for good to them that love God. So maybe while I'm on that verse, let's think about, I believe that God is with those who love him through the darkest of times. In this life, he cannot. He does not take away everything that can hurt, but he is with us. So back to Jesus revealing God. If God is like Jesus, then there's hope. Think of what Jesus was. Think of what Jesus did. The second point, the reason the birth of Jesus gives us hope is because in Jesus, God identified with us. When Jesus joined humanity at Bethlehem, he was deliberately identifying with us. He was born to poor parents, humble surroundings, and the darkest of times. He came to experience life with all of its challenges, uncertainties, and disappointments. He knows what it's like to live in a world racked with disease, political turmoil, racial tension, and economic hardship. One result of that identification is that now it's written in scriptures that Jesus, God, is able to identify with us in all of our feelings, in all of our experiences. Jesus came into this world on a mission of hope, and it was a mission of identifying with mankind. Thirdly, the reason the birth of Jesus gives us hope, because he came to give us true hope. You know, sometimes we use the word hope carelessly. Well, I hope there's a volleyball game this Friday evening. Oh, I hope we can go skating. I hope the ice is thick enough. That's more sort of I hope, but it's no big deal if it doesn't work out. At least the skating isn't for me. I used to enjoy skating, but the hope that it's talking about here is the earnest expectation of something that will not pass away. It's not something that we will be disappointed in because it wasn't like. You know, sometimes youth come back from a volleyball game and you ask them, well, how was it? It's just sort of duh. I mean, we had a poor team, or the guys, or somebody was hogging the ball, or it's just, you know, all sorts of things go wrong in volleyball games, it seems like, when you're focused on the volleyball game. But when you're focused on joy and the Lord Jesus is part of your everyday life, he gives us true hope. The fourth reason that the birth of Christ brings us hope is because Jesus came to enter and shatter the darkness. Jesus came into a dark world. He came to the darkest place. He was betrayed. He was, deserted. His disciples left him. And he died on the cross. But the beautiful thing that was part of God's plan to shatter the shackles of death that we're bound with. You know, none of us here is going to leave this world alive. The only way is the Lord comes again, and then there'll be a transformation. This body will not inherit eternal life, but we will need to be transformed. So we have hope, and we can live in anticipation and in the ordinary day because of the Lord Jesus. Some verses for you to think about. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I think God understands that sometimes we do get tired. You know, if yesterday was sort of like today, today is sort of like, and tomorrow looks like it'll be sort of like today, we wonder, well, what's going to be extraordinary? Be not weary. I believe in order for us to find joy in life, we're going to need to embrace the ordinary. You know, a few years ago, I went to Bible school with some youth that a couple years ago ended up in Haiti at just the time, the right time, the wrong time, to be part of the kidnapping situation. And it seemed like, you know, I knew those youth well. Is that what they were anticipating? No. But I believe they were trying to be faithful. They were living their ordinary life day by day. And then they were prepared for the extraordinary things that they faced. And I it's hard for us. We've heard the story, probably. Still, difficult to imagine what it would be like to wear the same clothes day after day after day. While we were living in Romania, we tried to be fairly conservative with resources, and once in a while we'd get visitors from the States that weren't quite used to that. We were used to, you know, you take your shower and then you hang up the towel so it'd dry, and you'd use it for the whole week, believe it or not, or at least half a week. We had a young man that came, and he showered at least 3 times a day, which is okay, but he used a fresh towel every day. Well, talk about overload on the system. And maybe that was ordinary for him. Part of the difficulty that we face as Americans is that we pursue easiness way too much. I have a young friend that for a year or two, him and a couple friends, they worked at bodybuilding, and they do well. I mean, they got an inch and a half rope in the shop. It's as tall as this ceiling. And so they climb the rope up hand over hand, back down, you know. I lay my hand on the rope and decide, no, that's not for me after all. They've taken to arm wrestling. And part of building your body is to challenge your body. And so he regularly takes ice cube baths. Never heard of it. I mean, that's part of stimulating your heart. I mean, I don't know. To me, it's a little bit like beating your head against the wall because it feels good when you stop. I'm not suggesting that. It might do us good to take cold showers. Embrace the ordinary. in the pursuit of God or for Jesus, and you will find joy. Let's kneel for prayer.